What are some things that you think we as Christians need to be doing before we go evangelizing, before we go out and try to win someone to the Lord? And this is not like a checklist of things that you have to do before you can talk to someone about Jesus Christ. These are just some things that if you want to be a soul winner, some things that you can probably be doing by yourself to help prepare you to go share the good news of the gospel. What are some things that you could be doing before you go?
Develop a plan.
What? Develop a plan. Okay. Right. Develop a plan. Very good. Pray. Very good. Excellent.
Read the word.
Read the Bible. Right.
Live the life of a believer.
Live a life that backs it up. Okay. All right. Anybody else think anything?
Memorize scripture.
Okay, we're done now. Okay, you got it all on my list. We can go home. No, but you did great. You did great. You got a lot of the things that I've got to talk about today. And I thought, can I tell you, whenever I sit down, and I'm getting better about not doing this, I sit down and I think, what should I talk about? And what should I put down? And I go, they know that, they know that, they know that. They know that, they know. I said, it feels like that, probably everybody, but I'm just throwing that out the window. And I said, I'm not going to worry about what we already know. And sometimes I even said to myself, remember that song? Those who know it the best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest, right? And probably those of us who've been in church, those of you who have been in church longer than I have and have been sitting under preaching and teaching longer than I have, you love to hear it, and that's why you're here. And I'll go with that. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about things we ought to be doing daily to help us be fishers of men. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I pray that you might help us as we open your word, as we try to get ready to share the gospel with a coworker, with a neighbor, with someone down the street or someone we meet on a daily basis. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless our time. Be with us as we look. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yesterday I stood right over there and I told somebody that was at the funeral. I said, I'd love to see you in church tomorrow. They said, you know, we've kind of been thinking about coming to church. I said, great, I know a place. And they said, we've been reading the Bible at home a little bit, but we haven't ever really gone to a church. I said, we'd love to have you. And I was kind of hoping that they'd walk in this morning. They didn't. That's okay. Maybe next week. Maybe things were busy this week. I'm not giving up on that, but I invited someone else out yesterday. And I've been thinking, I love it that our neighbor across the street is a teacher and the neighbor next door is a teacher. And I'm getting a chance to talk to them because I've got common ground and I'm loving that. And there was a lady across the street this week teaches up in Norwich, and seemed like her schools were going to school and ours were off, and vice versa with us. And so I was talking to her, you know, do you think we'll have school? And I'm thinking to myself, man, my goal this year is to invite both of our neighbors out to a concert and let God do the work. Because they know I'm a pastor and I've told them what I believe and stuff, but I'd like to invite, you know, that's the thing I want to do, and I want to be a good testimony and good witness, and I want to invite them, and I kind of like, that's what I'd like to start with. So, but what should I be doing? You know, if I've got this plan that I've got some neighbors that I would like to get to church, I'd love to see the lady across the street and the couple next door in church, and I hope that you've got people in your life, maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor or someone you work with that you'd like to come to church, or you'd like to invite out to a concert, you'd like to share the gospel with them. So here we got a list. So maybe, and this is not like you have to do these, I'm being very very serious when I say this. It's not like this is a list that if you do these 10 things, all of a sudden you'll become the world's greatest evangelist. That's not the point of this exercise. And this is not a list of things that you need to do in order to get to heaven. These are just some things that you can be practicing. And maybe you're wondering, how can I better be a better witness, a better testimony for the Lord? And I'm not saying that everything on this list is something that you need to add to your life. And I'm not saying that this list is comprehensive. And there's not other things we ought to be doing. But the first one is, I said, we need to know the book. We need to read the Bible daily. We need to be actively involved in memorizing it. And in just a minute, I'm going to talk about maybe how we can memorize and some things we ought to be doing to memorize Scripture. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." I understand the context there is talking about the book of Revelation. And that's the book that this applies to. And I think it's wrong, completely wrong, of a Christian to avoid the book of Revelation because they don't understand it. I think you need to read it. And as you read it, you'll begin to understand it. And you need to be actively reading it. But I think you could apply that phrase to the whole gospel, to the whole word of God. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. We need to be reading the book. We will get a blessing from it. We just heard testimony. Lois just said, "I read the Bible last year and I was blessed by it. Praise the Lord." She illustrated my point. When I've talked to so many Christians, they say, if you're in the book, you are blessed. And you don't know when you're out of the book and when you're not reading the Word of God, you notice, eventually you will notice that too. So you need to be actively involved in reading the Word of God. And there are many, many different ways that you can read the Bible. I know there's a scripture reading schedule in the Daily Breads. Some people have a devotional that gives them a passage of scripture to read each week. Some people read front to back. Some people have a chronological Bible. But I think the important part is that you read the Bible every day. And I believe that a lot of people, if they would pause their television for the time it takes to watch the commercials, and they just avoided the commercials in their life, they could read through the Bible every year. That's been something I've said to kids. I said, while you guys are so bored, you could read the Bible in a year, and it wouldn't take a lot of time. I believe that can be done. And I know I keep track of when I read the Bible because I'm a checklist type of person. I said when I was a kid, I went to baseball games. All the other kids were like watching the game and chewing their gum and had their mitt in their hand. I had the scorecard and I was keeping the batting averages and the statistics and everything. That's what I love, numbers. So I have a reading plan and I check my boxes. That helps me read the Bible. That doesn't mean that that's what you have to do. You just need a plan that works for you, that helps you read the Bible. The next thing that you need to do, and this is a verse that we've looked at and we've looked at and we've looked at as we've prepared to share the gospel, is we need to know the gospel. And we need to know, if we were to say, what is the foundation of the good news of the gospel? We need to know that it's important that people know 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I've read this a number of times, but could you, if it came down to it, and someone, if you wanted to tell someone what they need to know about the scriptures, could you state to them in your own way what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, especially verses 3 and 4, where it says, "Moreover, my brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Could you relay that message to someone? That the foundation that you need to know is that Jesus Christ was promised. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless, spotless life. And he died on the cross for your sins. And that was promised. And that 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin. So that's it. That's the gospel message that we need to know. Also, as you go out, know the book by reading it daily. Know the gospel. And know the plan of salvation. And I wrote down here three ways that you could, can go through the scriptures to share your faith. And I think it's in week 6 or week 7 of this series. This is week 3. But in week 6 or week 7, I've got these three things. And I'm going to go through them with you. And you could choose one. Someone came to me. I think it was Roger Sism. He came, not Roger Stilson, actually Roger Sism, came to me and said, "What method, when you teach about sharing the gospel, which one are you going to do?" He said, "The only one in Romans." And I said, the three that I looked up and I looked at and wrote down were Romans Road, John's Journey, and Colossians Gospel, the Gospel according to Colossians. And as we learn those, you can highlight them. You can put them in your Bible. And so you could kind of, maybe there's one that you that fits what you'd like to share with someone. And then you could take them to different places in Scripture and share with them the plan of salvation and how to work that out. So I encourage you, if you mark in your Bible. I've met some people that they just don't want to write in their Bible. I'm okay with that, but at the same time, I encourage people to write in their Bible. So if someone's got a problem with that, it's like, that's fine. But if you write in the Bible, maybe have just like little notes that'll say, walk your way through the Romans Road, walk your way through the John's Gospel, or maybe you could memorize it. The next thing I think you have to do before you go, that it's important that you do before you witness, is that you make sure that your life is clean. You make sure that your life is clean before someone else. And do we as Christians, do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we sin from time to time? Yes. But is it important that we live a clean, holy, and acceptable life before our peers? Yes. Will the world notice if you live different? Yes. Will they talk about it if you live different? Yes. You need to be clean. And it's important that we do that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement as the temple of God with idols. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. It's so important that we as Christians live a clean and holy and good life. I've met some Christians my own age who I'm going to go try and spend some time with them and do some things with them because they're Christians. And at the end of the day, I go back and I can remember very specifically once within a year ago, coming back home from meeting with someone, a Christian, and going to my wife, I said, I think I would have rather gone out with a person who wasn't a Christian. Because then when they're talking the way that that person was talking and doing the way things that that person was doing, it wouldn't make, I'm thinking they're acting like a dead soul that needs Christ. And I said, I was embarrassed. Honestly, I got the chance to spend, we were talking about Derek just a little bit ago. Got a chance to spend a little bit of time with Derek a while ago. And we went out to dinner, and him and I, we spent some time together. I said, thank you, Derek. Because it's so nice to have somebody my age who I know and can, when we go out and when we do stuff, that it's going to be a good, clean time. And you can't always guarantee that with Christians. And that's, it's really a nice thing. It's really a nice thing when you can do that with someone else. When you can go out, spend time with them, and having it be just a good, clean time. That's important. And I'm realizing more and more each day how important that is. And I, at the same time, I understand that the world is lost and they don't know any better. And so when a dead person acts like a dead person, somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, it doesn't surprise me. And I think there's somebody who needs a Savior. And it's very, very, very important. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. You know, as Christians, we struggle with sin. And we need to have a clean life. And I remember when I was struggling with a sin one time, I went to someone, a peer of mine, at Bible college. And I said, I'm struggling. And he said, commit this passage of scripture to memory. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And we all know verse 11 probably, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And I decided I would commit that to memory. And I would memorize it. And I would let that scripture make a difference in my life. And that was, memorizing that scripture has been one of the greatest things for helping keep my life clean. And I don't know how many times I have sat with a young man who is facing sins. Different sins than mine, same type of thing, but all sorts of different sins. And I said, if you want to make a difference in your life, commit this verse to memory. So often. And I'm hoping that, no, I'm not hoping. I know that if they take the time to let God's word, that verse, make a difference in their life, it will make a difference in their life. But they have to let it. And so one of the things that I try to do to young men is say to them, do right. Live righteously. And not many people were here on Wednesday night for prayer meeting, but Charlie Campbell said, I think it was this Wednesday, he said, quote from Dr. Bob Jones, he said, do right. Even if the stars fall, do right. I think I quoted that, right? Was that, Art, were you here when he said, was that what he said? And do right. And I said, I love that. Do right. Even if the stars fall, do right. If everything else around you is going wrong, do right. It's very, very, very important. Before we go, we need to memorize scripture. I just said that. Anybody have a problem memorizing scripture? Yeah, right? I mean, we do. Memorizing it, committing it to memory, it takes some work. So what are some things that you can do to memorize scripture? I make my kid, every Friday is verse quiz day in my Bible class. Every Friday they have to memorize a verse of scripture. I said for the month of February, we're memorizing a passage of scripture. And you got a couple of verses this Friday, got to add a couple more next Friday, got to add a couple more following Friday. And so by then, you got to know the whole passage. And there's this little boy, he's like, oh. Because he struggles. Sad. I don't know. He's talking to his mother, and he made it to about fifth grade, and he could barely read. And his parents took him out and had somebody sit and teach him how to read, and his reading is just beginning to really take off. I can barely read his handwriting when he first started. And now every week I'm starting to begin to see his handwriting pick up. I'm going, man, I wish this would have happened 7 years ago for this young man. But he just looked forward. But we've been working, because I remember the beginning of the year, memorizing a verse, a Bible verse. It was like, oh. But we talked to Mom. And he writes it down. That's what the first thing he's got to do. Every day, he's got to write that down. And guess what? His handwriting's improving. Wow, imagine that. He's practicing, and it's getting a little bit better. And he writes it down. And then he's got to review it. He has to read it to Mom on the car ride home and the car ride to school. And he's beginning to get it. This isn't something that he does, but we need to use it. I think I've told you before, one of the things that I'm challenging myself with is to learn Spanish. I watched as I went down to mission school and taught in mission school and preached around Costa Rica for a couple of years. I watched as these kids would learn Spanish. And I come home and I work from a textbook. And right now I can read it and I can hear it, but to speak it is really kind of tough for me. I have to like write it down first and then think about it and figure it out. And then maybe I could say a sentence. I could probably get a word across. You know, my vocabulary is pretty good right now. But one of the big things that why I can't speak it is because I study it in the morning, but I don't use it in a practical situation. One of the big advantages that those kids have that they immerse themselves into the culture, they get out into the market, and they talk, and they go to vacation Bible schools, and they use it, and they go to church, and they use it, and they go down the streets, and they use it, and they use it, and they use it, and they use it. So if you want to memorize Bible verse, Matt is in my More Than Conquerors group, and we write down on our note cards the memory verses that we're learning on Thursday nights. And he takes his and he sticks it in front of a computer. And he sent me a picture of it this week. And he said, he said, it's time for a new memory verse this week. This one's old and wore out. And I was so excited when Matt did that. But that he did that. So this week we're going to have a new one. We're going to write it down, and he sticks it in front of his computer. But it's important, if we're going to do that, we need to apply it. So if you memorize a verse, like Psalm 119:9, that's a verse I committed to memory. How I use it is when I am talking to someone who's facing sin, I say, this verse helped me, it can help you too. And I use it. So if you get a verse that you like that talks about heaven, maybe a verse like Acts 4:12, which says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If that's a verse that you want to memorize that you could share with somebody, write it down. And then use it in a conversation and say, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And use that verse as the example. And that's, and daily be involved in it. You know why Matt puts it in front of his computer at work? Is because he sees that every day. And it's something that he's going to be using every day. And so I think it's important that we do that. Last one is we apply it. We apply it. Again, that's what I said. Why I have problems with Spanish is right now I don't have time to apply it. I can study it. I can try and learn it. But how, if I'm ever going to get really good at it, I need somebody that I can speak it with every day. And try to learn it that way. Okay? So I got a couple other things as we go here. Things we need to go to do before we go. Prayer is important. We need to be praying. If I'm going to win my neighbor, if you're going to win someone for Christ, it's important that you be praying for them. That you pray before you go. Because prayer changes things. And I really believe that. I see God answer prayers. And I know that if I stop and I pray with somebody about something, God is going to hear and he is going to respond. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, it says, praying always, right? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In that passage of scripture, Paul says, if you want to open your mouth and share the gospel, you need to be praying about it. You need to always be praying about it. And you need to be praying because prayer is effective. James, I love the book of James. I love it. I think it's an amazing book. And verse 16, I just think about this verse often. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I love that verse. So if you think about it, what I just said a minute ago is that we need to have a clean life. So if we make sure that we're having a clean life and we're living before the Lord and we're living righteously and we're doing right and then we're praying and then we go out and do it, we apply it and we're in God's Word, God is going to make us an effective soul winner. And I don't know why God chooses to use us. I don't know why God chooses to use us. I often tell my wife, I say, I have no idea why God has ever chosen to use me for anything good. I tell her all the time, I feel like the goofiest guy on the planet half the time. And And maybe you do too. You know, it seems like often when I say that to people, that they'll say, you know, I feel the same way. And I always think, I'm not dynamic. I'm not, I said, I love Jesus. And God has taken that and he's used that, and I'm thankful for that. But it's all about the Lord. And I just thank the Lord so much for the way he works. And maybe God did that just so my head wouldn't get broke. My mom was very good at reminding me that I ought not to get a big head. She was so good at that. I remember her saying to me, like, Scott, I can't sing and you probably won't sing either. If you don't want to be in choir this year, that's perfectly okay. You're not a very good singer. So, okay, Mom. And that sounds like a great idea now. Then, now I wish that I had been in choir in high school. And I can just remember those. And my brother said to me one time, he said, if there was one good concept that Mom taught us, Scott, it was the total depravity of mankind and how me and you were chief of all sinners. And that's what my brother said to me one time. He said, she got that concept across to us boys. But I'm thankful for that. And and it's only by the grace of God. I think these are important things if we're going to be effective. And they're very, 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 very important. Know some examples of the places you can take someone to in the Bible of how God was able to transform someone's life. Let's look at the life of Lydia, Acts chapter 16. And I've got three stories from the book of Acts, and then we'll be finished. Three examples of that we can show people from the Word of God of the gospel changing someone's life. In Acts chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, it said, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain man, a woman named Lydia, heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And I just look at that and I go, that's an example of someone going out and doing evangelism. They just went out on the Sabbath day, sat down, and spoke to the people there, spoke to the women there. Along comes this woman, Lydia. She comes down, sits down, starts having conversation, and before you know it, the Lord opened her heart. And we don't know who the next Lydia is going to be. And I am so thankful for that. There was a girl who I got to watch grow in her relationship with the Lord. And her name was Lydia. And I always said, Lydia, are you going to sell purple when you grow up? She didn't know what I was talking about at all. But I knew who I was talking about. And so Acts chapter 12, the story of Peter being liberated from chains. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 12, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw how it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him into prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. And did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down on the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were waited and gathered together praying. As I think about this passage of scripture and Peter being released from the chains in the prison, if you ever find a chance to find a person who the weight of sin makes them feel like they are in bondage, you can take them to this passage of scripture and you can tell them about how, just like God set Peter free from a physical prison, absolutely and 100%, you know, was able to set him free, so he can set you free from the bondage that you find yourself in of sin. And you can share with them this story of what God is able to do, and how the people were praying. They didn't know how God was going to answer, but they were praying, and God answered their prayers, and Peter was set free. And maybe you've been praying for that person, and maybe God will set them free. And the last example of evangelism and how God is able to free people from their sins is the transformation of the life of Saul in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. In Acts 9, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." And as we read the story of the conversion of Saul, and as he became Paul, we see this awesome passage of scripture. Someone who knew about God, but really needed to know God. And somebody who God had to step in a great and marvelous way and get involved in his life and do something amazing. Wouldn't it be, as you think about it, Saul had to go to Ananias, right? And wouldn't it be neat to just be able to be an Ananias one day and just have someone come in and say, "I know I need Jesus. Could you tell me how?" Wouldn't that be awesome? Because usually we think about maybe being someone in the situation of Lydia, where we're having a conversation and they just happen to come on in and they get in the conversation, or we go looking for someone like Peter, someone who is in bondage to sin, and they need God to miraculously save them and to pull them out of the darkness of the the prison that sin has left in it. Or maybe we need to pray about someone and build a relationship and act a holy life around them and look for every opportunity to share the gospel. But couldn't we also be praying that maybe once in our life we could be an Ananias? I don't know if anybody here has ever had the opportunity to be an Ananias. I don't know that I ever have. I haven't ever had someone just pop into my life and say, God told me that I need to get saved and I'm here and I'm right. Tell me how. Wouldn't that be awesome though? But I think if we're going to be doing that, if God's going to put us in that situation, we need to be ready. And we need to be ready by living a clean life, reading the Bible, praying, and letting God work in our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that someone went out of their way to share the gospel with us. And Lord, when I think about the people in my life who planted seeds, who watered the seeds, who cultivated the ground, Lord, to the best of my ability, and what I can see and look back on, I see people who are desiring to live a righteous life, people who are reading the Bible, people who are praying, and people who are doing what you had called them to do, and they were speaking out. And Lord, I pray that you might help us to do the same thing, to let our lives be proof that you have changed us, to be bold, to be praying. And Lord, I pray that as we become faithful in witnessing and taking the gospel and sharing it with others, that maybe, Lord, you might give one person in this room a chance to be an Ananias, and that you would help the rest of us to be actively involved in sharing the gospel. Help us to be living that this week. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take these steps to be ready and prepared to share the gospel by praying, reading the Bible, and living a right kind of life before the world. Bless us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.